Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are three people you know personally, right? Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hose, and their cats, and other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Makes us feel sorry for them, doesn't it? These poor three Hebrew children. Children, they were just young men. Going to throw them in a furnace and burn them up. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it makes us want to clap right now, don't it? All those mean old men throwing those three young people in that fiery furnace. And in our human nature, we want to say, yay! But we don't want to go there, because that's not where God wants us to go. I'll show you why in a minute. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished. Starts putting a smile on your face right about now. He was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Question. And they listened to him. They heard it as a question. And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king, we sure did. That's the way we would say it. We sure did. And he answered and said, well, wait a minute. Lo, I see four men loose. Four. Walking in the midst of the fire. They were getting their exercise. They wanted to stay in good shape because they knew they were getting out of there soon. By the way, they weren't in any big hurry. Did you ever notice Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They weren't in any big hurry to get out of there. Would you, if you were in the presence of Jesus Christ himself of the Old Testament? Well, no, you wouldn't. Because remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jesus was in the house. He was also in the furnace. And they have no hurt. They were walking around the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. Amen. Give them a hand. Give the Lord a hand there. Yeah, it's okay. I know that happened a long time ago, but he did a wonderful thing there. There's no hurt with them. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow. Was he aware of what was going on? Don't know how much he was aware of, but he sure did speak the truth. Let's bow our heads, and as we pray, we're going to keep in mind all of those requests that was given just a few minutes ago. And if you raised your hand or you gave an object of prayer, right now, God's looking down and he's going to answer your prayer. And we're going to give him glory for it. Our Father in heaven, oh Lord, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your kindness, your help. Lord, we want to thank you for being who you are. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this service. And I thank you for what you're going to do in advance, because I know that somebody's going to leave here stronger in their Christian life than when they came. And we're going to praise you for that. And for all the lives that you're going to touch because of our prayer here today, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, Lord, whatever their need is, we know that you'll reach out, because that's what you do. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The fourth man. Now, when you look up the phrase, the fourth man, you find out that not only is he the fourth man, he was a lot of other things called in the Old Testament. He was known as the stranger. Now, always these things are, it's Jesus making himself known as a man in the Old Testament. Now, I can't explain to you how Jesus did that. I just know he is the Jesus of the Old Testament. And he's also the Jesus of the New Testament because he is Jesus. And so he is known as the stranger. And that I know it defies explanation. I can't explain it. You can't explain it. But you see, we don't live by our human explanations and definitions. We live by faith. And whatever the Word of God says, that's what we accept because it is the Word of God. And God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and it'll never change. It's the truth. The truth. And I can't add an adjective to that to make it stronger because the truth is the truth. If I said it's the pure truth, I would be adding a word that I don't need to add. If it's just the truth. And so if he is the stranger, I can't explain it. I just know he is. And you'll just have to wallow in that and say, thank you, Lord, for the stranger. And you'll remember that when Abraham was in his tent, a guest showed up, if you remember that story. Well, the guest was the same as a stranger. And I can't explain that. I just know that a guest showed up, took care of Abraham's issues and his problems, and was gone. Just disappeared. Went back to wherever he was going back to. But he was the guest. There was a time when Jacob wrestled with one, but who he wrestled with was a traveler. He was known as the traveler. Well, I can't explain the traveler. I don't know where he came from. I just know he was Jesus. I know these were Jesus that came down in the form of man and did exactly what he did and then went on his way. We know that there's another area where he was the commander of the Lord's army. Don't know how to explain that, but it sure did puzzle Joshua, didn't it? He didn't have an explanation for it. We don't have an explanation for it. All we know is that the fourth man sure does show up a lot. He was the angel of the Lord. And he appeared to Moses, if you remember. I would like to have been one of those men back in the Old Testament that he showed up as a man and a Jesus as a man, wouldn't you? Old Moses was thrilled to death because he was the angel of the Lord. But then in this story that we just read today, he shows up as the fourth man in the furnace. And today we're going to be talking about the fourth man in the furnace. And not only is he believed to be Jesus, I believe he was Jesus. I just have to go there and say it beyond shadow of a doubt. I believe he was Jesus. And he appeared as man. Now we know, skipping from the Old Testament where he was known by different names, we skip to the New Testament when he was born in Bethlehem to Mary. And at this time, he literally became the God-man. He was God, yet he was man. He was both. Some people want to make him just God. Some people want to make him just man. He is God-man. When he was born to Mary, he was God-man. That is what we know as the incarnation. So if you ever hear that word, you'll know exactly what he's talking about here as him being born into this world. How comforting for us to know. And I think this is a good time for me to tell you, if you weren't here last Sunday night, I started to say I had a meltdown. I didn't have a meltdown. I just was at a time in my own human life that I just couldn't go on another breath. If you were here, you know exactly what I mean. I just had to say, I'm sorry, church, I can't go any farther. And I couldn't. and I don't understand it, except I'm thinking back for the last 9 months of which I have lived as fast as I could and as busy as I could and stayed trying to keep my mind occupied. And I think I just put things off to the side. And as you know, last week was mine and Kay's anniversary, and I think that might have been that little bit of icing on the top of that cake that just pushed it over the edge. And I was fine Sunday morning, or I thought I was. Some of you may know better. But I was fine Sunday morning, went home and sat down Sunday afternoon and was sitting there by myself and had the funniest feeling come over me that, and I know Kay would have told me if I'd said to her, I'm not going back to church tonight. She'd say, you have to go, you're the pastor. And I just had that draining feeling, and I just went to the bottom. And I thought, but I can still do this. I can get what I've prepared for, and I can go in and I can deliver it as times of old, like Samson. And I can go in and I can do this and I can do that. And I found out I couldn't do that. Knowing all these years I've pastored and preached that it's not me at all. I finally came to that point last Sunday evening that's where I was. And I want to thank the church for the show of support and love for me. But my support and my main love and support came from my fourth man. I know that. And he uses us to be that sometimes to our people. He shows up through his people. So thank you for doing that. But I realize the fourth man is important to us because we are in a furnace of life. Remember that song, I'm One Blessed Man? And we live in the furnace of life. And as we live in the furnace of life, the fourth man needs to show up, and he does. And he showed up for me last Sunday night. And I want to, in front of my whole church, I want to say thank you, Lord, for showing up as a fourth man in my life. So it is comforting to know that Jesus will always find a way to come and be not just among us all, but in with you personally when you need him, because you're his child and he's your father and he's going to take care of you. Even now, this morning, right now, you got to know he's present with us. Just as the walking in the furnace of the three Hebrew children, he's here today walking amongst us, and he's here for every one of us, and he does that by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he makes himself known constantly to me. You have your Bible there in your hand. If you don't, you see the word up here. But we have the word with us constantly, and that word is the fourth man walking in our life. It's him. He is. He said, I am the word. I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm everything. So if you have your word with you, then you know that he's constantly with you. A Savior who is always near, and I wanted to say and dear to our hearts, but he's always near us and he'll never go away. I've never, ever looked at this scripture like I did this past week since last Sunday. Never. But I got to looking back a little farther than where I started reading today, and it just fell together for us to look at it just a little differently. And maybe you've already looked at it this way, I don't know, but I'm going to show it to you the way it came to me anyway. Because you see, if I had told people outside the realm of the Holy Spirit, outside the realm of Christianity, outside the realm of having a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, if I had told what happened to me last Sunday, they would have had some secular reason for it. And they would have pulled out the psychiatrist books, and they would have, with all their learning in elementary school, They would have told me exactly what was wrong with me. And they would have told me different. And I don't even want to get into all the opinions, because I've heard them all my life. The differences of opinions of people who know exactly what had happened to me. Well, I got a better story than that. And if I were to tell them they wouldn't know what happened to me because they don't know the fourth man. How would you know what's going on if you don't know the fourth man? So I thought about that, and I went back far enough to see the people who didn't know the fourth man. So I'm going to start out with this message by saying the fourth man not known. Okay? It's a good place to start, isn't it? The fourth man not known. Now you go back to verse 13. If you would, look with me and we'll just see what he says in verse 13. In verse 13, he says this, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king." Now here is a king who had been told by those around him who wanted to make some points, "King, there's three young, stubborn young men up here who are not doing what you told them to do." They were tattletales. And they went to the king, and when they told the king this, made him so angry, and he got so furious that, as to what was going on. Now, the reason he got furious was because he didn't know the fourth man. I'm telling you, that's why he was furious. You say, oh, but he was all into himself. It was his ego. They weren't bowing down to what he said they should bow down to. He was starting a state religion. He was going to have his own religion, and everybody was going to serve the gods he said you ought to serve. And they weren't going to do this. And he did this because he didn't know the fourth man. So, verse 14 says this, "Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true?" That was a dumb question to ask these young men, because they had already proven where they were standing. They weren't going to change. But you see, he didn't know the fourth man. He didn't know the power of the fourth man in their life. Now, does this world know the power of the fourth man in your life? Do they see the fourth man in our lives? Does the world see it? Because you see, the world doesn't know him. The world's not going to see him and know him. But they can have a glimpse of him through your life. So he asked this stupid question. Okay, say stupid. Our kids aren't in here. You know, oh, where's Georgia? I'm so sorry. Georgia, this is, we always tell our kids, don't say that word. That's a bad word. That's a potty word or whatever you say, you know. We always make these, don't say that word. Well, I'm not going to say it now that I see Georgia back there. "Is it true," says, "is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods?" Are you not serving the gods I set up? Now you're asking three young men who love the Lord. And you're asking them, are they not going to serve your gods? Nor, he went on to put a little mayonnaise on the sandwich here for them, "nor worship the golden image which I have set up." I have set up. These are my gods, and you're not going to serve them, and you're not going to worship them. You see, the reason he would ask these is because he didn't know the fourth man. He didn't know the power of the fourth man in the lives of people who know him. And so he would ask these questions. He was acting angrily because he didn't know the fourth man. He was asking ignorant questions because he didn't know God's children. I think people ought to know where we stand. I don't think we ought to be closet Christians. I don't think there is any such thing as a closet Christian. If we're going to be Christian, the world ought to see Jesus in us. Not us, but they ought to see Jesus in us. And I would say, if someone were to ask you, are you going to serve the gods of this world? Is that what you're going to do? Well, you'd say, no, I'm a Christian. I'd say, well, I just hadn't seen it, so I was just asking the question. You see, the king didn't know the fourth man, so he was asking them, are you going to serve these gods? Are you going to worship the strange gods that I've put up? Are you going to do this? Then he said this, and I thought, this is exactly the way Satan does this. You see, if you're not strong in the Lord, my prayer is that you're saved. My prayer is that you're ready to go to heaven. And saved is a good word. It's a good word to say, I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm saved and I know that I am. I'm so glad I know that I am. I do that every time I do this. When I'm talking about, do you know? I know I'm saved, and you know you're saved, right? Well, if we know this, then we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that it makes it easier for people to see Jesus in us. I have a couple mirrors, the one in my bathroom, that sometimes I have to clean it myself now so I know. How this is. You know, you splash toothpaste on it or you splash soap on it, and after a while you're wondering if you're in there, you know, and you got to wipe it off, clean it off so you can actually see yourself. Well, that's the same way our Christian lives ought to be. We ought to be cleaning that mirror of our lives so that people can see a little clearer Jesus in our lives. They need to see the fourth man. And this man didn't know the fourth man, so he was asking all these questions. But in verse 15, he says this. He says, I'm going to make it so that you can be more excited about what I'm talking about. Would you think that Satan would do that for you or to you? If he thought he could grab you and put you into serving his gods and looking for other things to worship, do you think he would try to make it more exciting so that you would do that? Would he be that low down of a rascal? He certainly would. He is after you. He is after your children. He is after your grandchildren. And if he can make it exciting for them, why do you think that churches that have all the exciting things going on, like taking over football stadiums and stuff, and they have all this exciting stuff, that salvation is hardly ever, if ever, mentioned. What's happening there? Well, I can tell you what's happening. The world is trying to drag you into where they want you. And that's exactly what this king did here, and it's a good illustration of what Satan is doing in our lives today, because he's not going to stop. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour, and if that's you or your children or your grandchildren, so be it. He does not care. These were three teenage youngsters. And he says, oh, I can get them. I know what to do. I'll do it by the way of music. I love music. I love music, but music's not going to drag me to serve another God. Music's not going to make me worship another God. I can assure you of that. But here's what he did. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste. Well, I'm on the wrong verse. Let me go back. Now, that's the way it starts out. Now, I get so excited sometimes I get on the wrong verse. Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Nothing prettier than a big band, right? All those instruments coming together, and boy, when they blend and harmonize together, I love music so that when maybe they start out with a piano and they start hitting the notes of a piano and they get about 8 or 10 notes in with the piano, and another instrument like a guitar or some other one kind of gets right in there with it, and then all of a sudden you hear a trumpet, and all of a sudden you hear a sax, then all of a sudden you hear the drums or whatever, and after a while it just starts escalating, and you hear all those instruments coming together. What a wonderful sound that is. Say amen. Thank you. I'm glad I'm in this world not by myself. I'm glad that that's the way it is, because if I get to hear a musical venue play, I wanna be there. I love the, especially the instruments coming together. I believe that God gives people the ability to play a musical instrument, and more so when they do it with a bunch of other people with other instruments, and it makes such beautiful music. Why do you think we have congregational singing? That's because the instrument of your voice put with the instrument of other voices just absolutely sounds wonderful. If you were up here where I am listening to you sing as a congregation, you would say, wow, that sounds good. And sometimes y'all just wow me. Amen. Thank you. Because of all those voices coming together. But he says, I'm going to bring you all this music, and then you tell me what you're thinking. So he says, here you are. And then he says, when you hear this, here's what you're going to do. You fall down. Now here's these three guys who are living for the Lord, and you're expecting them to fall down because you're playing musical instruments? A true born-again child of God's not going to fall down when they start hearing music. Amen? Not going to do it. So he says, you fall down and you worship the image which I have made. Then it will be well for you, he said. He just says, well. In fact, if you'll do that, that'll please me. And if we would do what Satan wants us to do, it would please him. It would. Because if he can get you, he can get somebody else that's connected to you. Because you see, Satan's in the network business. Y'all know what networking is. Yeah, he's into that. He knows if he can get one, he'll get another. That's why we have that little sign over the door as you come in. I'll be one to bring one. Because God's also in the network business. He is. I'll be one to bring one. We owe it to him to do that. But here's a man who doesn't know the fourth man. And he's saying, when I play all this music, if you'll just fall down and worship, then it'll be well. Well, that's going to be good. He says, well, but, he said, if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. He knew how important it was for them to understand that if they didn't do this, this would happen immediately. It's not like he's going to put it off a week. You know how parents do? If you don't do this, I'm going to whip you next week. That doesn't work. No. I know how my parents were, and I thank God for them every day. They jerked me up by the nape of my neck right then. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to give you till whenever, you know, you didn't get that grace period. Okay? And God's not going to give it, by the way. And by the way, this man right here understood that very well. He understood that if I'm going to do it right now, you're going to say, whoa, you mean this is going to happen to me in the next hour? But that's why he said this. He said in that same hour, in the midst of the fiery furnace, that's where you're going to go. Then he made a big, huge, gigormous. That's another word of mine. A big mistake. He said, and who is that God? Oh, does that make a Christian angry? For the world to treat your Savior like a that God? That God and try to make you believe that only very few would believe in him? Well, we know that according to the Bible, there's going to be more not saved than saved. We know that. But folks, I got news for you. Don't let the world tell you that he's that God.